there's plenty of people that have come before us that when there wasn't a wide body kit have actually, you know, used good metalworking skills to extend the body and make these cars wide body to the point where they have the good work done to them. But that goes with being able to, you know, replace it with, you know, also make the new inner wheel wells and the whole thing. It's just that is a tremendous amount of money and undertaking, and the skill set has certainly diminished over the years as we've gotten here as far as the amount of skill it takes to make actual metal wide body cars, right? There's people that can do it, but
it's a lost art. We're losing the art of it, right? I mean, it's, you know, I think fiberglass and carbon, and carbon's a little bit different, but like just the composite panels, right? Let's mm-hmm. call them composite panels.
Right.
You know, you make the mold for it, you can kind of duplicate relatively easily. From a steel perspective, which, yeah, I mean, that's definitely the way to go if you can go down that road. The folks that can make that and the costs associated with it, I mean, to me personally, I think it's worth, if I was in the opportunity to kind of choose one or the other, I would much rather go steel. Because then, you know, from a long-term perspective, like, you're not going to worry about things, you know, rotting away or, you know, any of that.
But steel rusts. I mean, like, I don't know about the metal. I think if you properly prep paint and you know, and coat things, I think the, you know, and seal things, like I'm not worried about the metal as far as its composition and rusting or rotting. That to me is a whole other situation that comes from just lack of good work. But I think the problem I have with body kits is more or less the issue that I think they present within planning. For example, I can't tell you how many, and this was probably more back in the day, but I can't tell you how many cars, like, you go look at a wide body kit that's put on, and like, let's say they bought a kit, they had it put on, the body shop was very good, they fitted it pretty well, like everything looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And then you take a peek under the fender or under the quarter and you realize they never cut the quarters of the fenders that were originally on the car. That's a problem, because what happens is you go ahead and you put those wheel spacers on, or you go ahead and get that wide wheel. Let's say you even spend all the money and got yourself a 18 by 13 inch wheel built. Let's say you did it. It can be done. It takes a lot of money, but you can get a one-off company or a three-piece company to build that type of fitment. So you get that fitment. You get that done. You bought yourself a big dollar set of wheels. You had a lot of money put into the body kit. They didn't cut the quarters and the fenders away. First off, I say, whoever you took it to, they should have warned you that that was not a good idea to not do that. The second thing is that when you don't do that, and then you have that wheel that now sticks, you know, basically, you know, right, it's basically halfway. The midline of the wheel is basically now sitting right in line with your quarter and your fender, and you take that major compression, right?
Yep.
And it blows your body kit or blows the quarter part or whatever it is right off the side of the car, I think, and then crinkles the quarter panel and the whole thing in the thing. I think you're going to really be like, wow, like, why did this happen? And that's because you didn't cut the stuff away. Right. Like,
yeah, I mean, and even if being properly, even just cutting away, but even properly securing to the car. Right. Yeah. I mean, when you look at, say, some of the FD cars, you know, with wider panels put on, but those are meant to be more so consumables as opposed to for the road.
Well, they're race cars.
Yeah.
Right.
Race car stuff.
Right. Yeah. Race car stuff is plagued. I'm not plagued. That's the wrong word. Race car stuff is intended to be those over panels, right?
Yep.
Where those guys can, you know, they cut away everything. If you've ever seen an FD car that uses wide body pieces and they don't, like, and they have the panels off the car, they took a hit or something like that, you'll see that the undershell is basically, you know, just an inch.
Away.
It's just an inch basically that goes around so that the kit can attach to it in that place. Everything else is cut away below that. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, those guys will either they have, you know, which, you know, scares me a little bit, but like, that's what people do. They use riv nuts or, you know, those, you know, screw inserts so that they can put a bolt in, they can bolt on, or, you know, other ones will use actual rivets right? Knowing that the worst can happen, they're just going to drill them out. But basically, they attach those panels as a, like you said, as a consumable piece, knowing that they're going to get in an accident. It's going to get hit. They're going to hit a wall. They're going to do these different things. They're going to destroy it, and they have spares, so they put the spares back on the car. And that's you know, I mean, that's race car stuff. But there is nothing for them to have interference with. There's nothing there underneath that panel.
Well, and even from, like, say, from a street perspective, the long game, I mean, you put a, quote unquote, a nice wide body kit on a car, you know, say you have the car for a couple of years and you get an accident, a wreck or something. Now you're hunting for trying to find the same mold. Like, it's almost like you ask for the problem down the road, you know, heaven forbid.
I think you're talking about the issue of, you know, just like now you have to find a replacement part. I mean, I will say that, you know, unless you have a major thing, a major accident or something like that, a lot of times those body shops can kind of regraft some of those pieces back together. I mean, they're only, like you said, fiberglass and stuff. It's not like metal, but
like take it to a surfboard shop. Get some.
Well, I mean, good body work. They deal with nothing but that stuff all day long. I mean, how many cars were fiberglass as it was? I mean, you got Corvettes all day long. So, I'm less worried about that. I think that there's some kits that have become very popular, right? Like you had the Liberty Wall kits, you had the Rocket Bunny kits, you had, what was the other one that's already on the tip of my tongue?
There's the RWB stuff.
Well, yeah, there is.
How do you really feel about that?
I have mixed feelings on the RWB stuff. I like it from a sense of when you see a finished car, like, it's cool.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not cool in the way that I think a lot of people think it's cool. There's a lot of people, I think, that feel that when you put an RWB kit on, that it's a quote-unquote work of art.
Yep.
And I think when they put that stuff on, I think they feel that their car actually appreciated in value. Look, here's the thing. Oh, man, I'm going to get roasted for this. I know it's happening, but I just can't help myself.
You could just feel it. Like, it just, the ground is swelling just a little bit.
If I had a car that was not perfect, that was not great, that I was going to do all this body work to, the, like, quarters weren't in great shape, like, you know, it just was like I got it real cheap. Where I could do something like this. I could do something like this and redo the whole car and feel like I made a cool driver, a cool piece, and okay. When you take a pristine turbo, 911 turbo, when you take a pristine 911 Carrera S or anything like that, and you cut the quarters and fenders on that car to strap on this stuff, It just, not only does it feel sacrilege, right? And I'm not a super purist. So, like, I don't want anybody to think, like, oh, it's because he's a pure. No. But, like, look at what he does. I mean, you have silicone that put the gaps between the panels. Well, listen, I think it's an artwork what he's doing. Don't get me wrong.
At least he takes the time to tape around the edge.
No.
A nice clean line to simulate, you know.
I don't want this to get fooled. I mean, look, he's cutting away the quarters and fenders because you have to.
Yeah.
Like, he's not doing that to whatever. He's doing that so that you don't blow the kit off the car when the wheel compresses, right?
Yep.
But I struggle with taking a really nice car like that.
Yep.
And cutting it to pieces to put on a body kit that fits and having him have to bridge the seams with silicone or butyl because that's how that stuff goes. I mean, like, Look, he's putting the same type of mesh that you use for gutter guards that you get at Home Depot that we used back in the early 2000s to make grills and stuff in all our cars, right? You bought a roll of the gutter guard stuff. You came home. You sprayed it black. You bent it into certain pieces. You put hot glue around the whole damn thing. You stuck it in there. Like, I did it. I get it.
I did that to my car. It's on my car right now.
I understand. I did that very thing. And I'm just saying, It's not exactly that, but it's close. I'm just saying that, like, at the end of the day, you know, that spray paint, the silicone, the cutting away, the taking the quarter pieces, and he cuts, he, you know, he cuts the quarter and he bends them up and smacks them, you know, so that they're basically now folded under. I get why you do it. He's trying to do his best to waterproof it, and then he comes in there and sprays and puts some more stuff and, you know, takes the chicken wire and does his grills, and I get all of it. And I'm not saying it doesn't look cool when it's done. Not saying that. I'm just saying that, like, you don't take a 911 that's worth, you know, let's say arguably $50,000-$60,000.
Well, cut. Okay, we're talking about a low in 996 at that point, kind of where things are at the moment.
No, still. I don't think so, because 996 is, like, you can get a higher mileage 996 for $20,000 to $25,000. You can, because
you,
I was just
be
looking
careful
at
what you pay for.
Well, I don't know. I still think you can. And then you, like, the 997s, I think you can get a decent 997 for about 45.
Yeah, but he's more known for the air cooled side of it. Like,
and I understand, and those cars are really become expensive.
Oh, especially when I see, like, a 993 getting cut up, and I'm like, oh, like, that's the one 911 that never really lost value. Like, you might find a beater in the bunch and stuff like that, but he did a lot with the 964s, and, like, the 964s have just boomed in value because they're now turned into the canvas of RWB,
now,
the singers of the world.
Max has one up on screen right now.
Yep.
The car looks ridiculously awesome. I'm not saying, I just don't want anybody to think, I'm not hating on the artistry of what he does. Yeah. I'm not hating on the overall look of the car. The car is sick looking. I love the look of the Y-body car. Like, the car looks great. I'm just saying that at the end of the day, this is not the car. You didn't take that car, cut it up, put this stuff on there, spend all the money to fly this dude over, right?
Yep.
And don't get me wrong. I think he's an extremely talented dude. And I think you should, if this is what you like, you should do it. That's what cars are about.
Really? Yeah.
But, like, you take this car, you cut up the stuff that you can't, your sheet metal, you can't really replace anymore. You take a car that's got a value, you strap this stuff onto the car, you spray paint, you silicone, you butyl, you hot glue, you put the stuff on the car. The car looks dope.
Yeah.
But do not fool yourself that this car is not worth inherently a lot more to most people. This car is worth more to the person that wants that.
Another like-minded individual.
Now, with that said, if I had the money to be able to own both the clean one and the cool one,
fair.
I buy them. So I don't want people to think I'm like, and I'm not against this. I'm just saying, like, just keep in perspective here. You know, when we start looking at how we're attaching this stuff to the car, it's with a bunch of silicone and fasteners and screws and the sheet metal. I mean, it's just, look, you take this kit, you take this type of work out of this one RWB situation.
Yep.
And you bring it over to most other car platforms, and people will go to the shows and they'll get roasted.
Yeah, I mean, so my car, I have an IROC body kit on my car, which is 9-inch flares up front, 11 in the rear. And the front is a relatively simple thing because it's just swapping out the entire fender.
Right.
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 And it has just enough bulge to it to, you know, that it is a wide body kit. You know, the rear, I'm running 15 by 10s in the rear.
Okay.
That in itself, you know, creates sort of an inherent problem of just tire selection and what's, and living here in Tennessee and how the weather shifts, it gets a little crazy running Hoosiers all the time on the street. But
now on your rear quarters, are they worked in or do you have a? Yeah. So it's completely smooth and all that.
The only thing original on my tub is the tub and the doors. Everything else is glass.
But, like, let me
done proportionally.
Now, was that because you got to school me a little bit on this stuff. I'm not really inherently good on the aftermarket side of some of the poor stuff, right?
Yep.
So in that vintage, when you put that kit on the car and they glass everything in, was that to mimic the actual, like a real wide body car? Correct. Or was this to go over and wider than the original wide body car?
So in those cars, there are steel bodied IROC cars and that have those flares. So if you can find those fenders, like kudos to you, they're almost unobtainium to find those.
Uh-huh.
And that was based off a period correct series called the IROC series.
Yep.
And it was enough to, you know, sort of put Trans Am cars and Euro cars to compete against one another. You know, in those, there were a couple of folks who were making body kits for them. But I don't know the origin of who did the steel panels. I don't know if that was a Porsche thing or not.
Not that IROC, Max. I think yeah. Max is playing with us. He just put on a Camaro IROC on the screen.
It did race in period.
Yeah, okay, but... Oh, yeah, man.
It's, you know, there's sort of a wide swatch. And, you know, yeah, if something were to happen to my car right now, like I can't just replace one fender because that was a body kit that was made over 30 years ago.
Yep.
You know, and is that same mold still around? I don't know.
No, you probably most likely have to bring it to somebody that can actually remake whatever corner you blew apart.
Yep.
Right. But here's the thing, like, and this is maybe a good question to ask you, right?
Yeah.
Original, and let's not take the IROC car because I think that was a really niche thing. But let's say your vintage Porsche,
yep,
and the actual wide body version that came with it.
Well, technically, in that period, there was no factory wide body.
Okay,
we didn't get into wide bodies until we got into. Well, I take that back. I grossly misspoke there. There's the RSRs.
Okay, that's fair.
There's the STs, right? Those were considered to be wide body cars. But those were also more so race cars.
Okay.
Like you were buying a factory race car.
Right, right. It's equivalent to buying the GT3 RS today kind of thing, but like a little bit more stripped
even,
out.
Even more specifically a race car.
Yeah.
Like the period, an ST was considered to be like going to the dealership and buying a cup car.
Got it.
Yeah. But it was street legal.
So now, but what I guess what I'm trying to say is like, and I understand we can't do a direct correlation, but like, let's say you have, you know, your car build quality and stacked next to an OE wide body car. You would also agree that even though your car is glassed in, it doesn't have silicone on it, it doesn't have all this stuff, you would also agree that the wide body still would be worth a lot more. The stock OE wide body car.
Oh yeah, the factory one, right. Absolutely.
Right, and so that's what I have a problem with when we cut some of these cars up. And I know people are like, "Well, that car probably wasn't a wide body." It was, well, I don't know. I mean, we cut up everything. It seems like I just saw that he just did a turbo, right?
Yeah.
Like I don't care where you are. I think it was a 997 turbo, and I remember thinking, well, no matter how you do it, that's an expensive car still.
Yeah, I mean, I have a very much like to that point. I have a love-hate relationship with RWBB stuff. I mean, it having, you know, a period car, right, and seeing some of the ones you've done, I would say his narrow wide body kits are on point with its sort of period correctness, right? But then when you start getting into the wide versions, now we're straight up into cartoon territory. Like it is just the proportions are almost too much. Like I've seen one of the wide body 964s where it says wide kit.
Yeah.
And it's just like flags hanging out the side of the car. Like yeah, it but, just doesn't.
And don't get me wrong. I don't, even with that all said, I mean, I agree with you and I still like them. I mean, Scotto's car was beautiful. It was like one of the more, you know, first ones.
Tastefully that were, done. His car was tastefully done. And Pandora one, which was the other one that Mark Arsenal did.
Yeah. So like, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm in on the look and how cool they are. I just struggle with the fact that, like, at the end of the day, if you just want to take away all that stuff, right, I still think you have – I mean, and Scotto's car was different with that stuff, right? Like,
Well, so his car was, you know, factory, a 965 turbo, if I recall. So itself was already body-wise, factory body-wise, already had, you know, extra proportions to it to, because it was a turbo.
Yeah. I still struggle with the fact when you start piping silicone in, because that's the gap. And stuff. I don't know. It skews me out a little bit. But I think circling back, I think all these cars still have the same problem. And I think that has, you know, when you start out for a wide body kit, like people need to think about what they're going to do in a complete plan. Like, I look at it very much like an engine build, right?
Yep.
Like, you start out with an engine build and you're mapping out every component you're going to use before you start building the engine. You don't build half the engine and then decide like, man, like, I got these rods, like, what pistons am I going to use? Like, it doesn't work. Like, you don't do that. Like, you don't decide about what, you know, what bore you're going to use before you figure out what pistons you're going to use. You know, like, are we going to go over 20 or whatever? Like, they're all pieces that go in conjunction with each other. And I just think that when you start getting to a place where you put this wide body kit on the car and then you go searching for wheels, that is a nightmare.
It's almost like you should be going for wheels first and then the body kit, just to make sure that you've got everything to complete the project, as opposed to insert baling wire and duct tape here.
Well, look, I think it's extremely hard. I think that, you know, body kits are made to what body kits are made for. So yeah. Buying the wheel and then trying to fit the body kit afterwards, I mean, yeah, I think there's some merit to it if you have the room to taper it, but then you're spending a lot of money to get that thing to line up. Now, if you're not going to, then I think it's fine, but then make sure that you have a wheel provider, or you know what you're going to do in a one-off sense, or you're okay with trying to figure out how to get the spacer made to get you to the exact place, because you don't want to have a wide body kit and then the wheels look ridiculously stupid, right?
Almost cartoonish.
Well, I think it even goes the other way. You don't want to see the car that has the really conservative wheels and looks like the car wants to fall over because it's like got 2 more inches of body on each side of the car. Like, that's crazy. So
it's tough to see those. Like, I applaud the effort. Like, there's a lot of effort that goes into widening a car.
If you do it the right way, there is.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely the easy button to do it, and you get what you get, right? It's just.
And I think you can make a really cool driver car and I think you could do it inexpensively as long as you're not looking for a pristine car.
In right? What sense? Like, what would be, like,
how?
Like,
there's plenty of crappy, there's plenty of semi-crappy wide body kits that maybe even are application specific that are available on eBay. And let's say it costs you $1,200 to get a kit. And then you bring the kit, and let's say you have some reasonable skills in shaping and fitting, because I think that there's plenty of do-it-yourselfers out there that have those skill sets. I know I have that skill set, right? Yeah. Like, I'm not a body man. I would never do a tremendous amount of body work or say that I wouldn't charge somebody to do body work, but I have the ability with more time than probably required most body people to get something reasonably close and make it look decent. So
a 10-footer.
Well, I don't even think it's a 10-footer. I think I can get myself to, you know, to the car. I'm just saying, like, I don't think you would be short of being able to say, oh, well, there's that. I'm just not good enough to do that, yeah. Right? But what I'm saying is I can get it reasonably in a car. So if I wanted to make a driver, let's say I bought like a $5,000, you know, 350Z, and I'm like, the hell with it. Let's buy one of those kits on eBay, and I get the thing in. Yeah, I could riv nut it, fit it, whatever. I know how to work with, you know, if it's fiberglass, I know how to work with some fiberglass. I could probably get it fitted up to the car. I could probably, you know, extend some of the pieces, roughen some glass, use some of that glass filler. Like, I could smooth it out. I could, you know, Bondo on top of it. Like, I could do all, I could get myself to the point, and it would take a lot of time, but I could do it myself and get it reasonably fitting close. And yes, with a $5,000 car, I'd be happy to take a body saw and cut those fenders and quarters out to do something like this. But I still think that at the end of the day, I'm going to have to put a wheel on the car without it looking ridiculous. So
I just can't help but think of, like, cutting into the car. Like, I'm going to give you a second life, son. Rah, just cutting through the thing.
Yeah, but like, you know, here's the thing. I think the reason that it like almost I like those cars. Yeah. I like playing with stuff like this because I look at it more like a jigsaw puzzle. I like jigsaw. People ask me, like, I've had this happen before. There's people that they get cars because they want to drive them.
Yeah.
Right? There's people that get cars because they want people to look at them when they're in those cars, right?
Absolutely.
There's people that get cars because they love building them. And I've always said that I love building cars more than I like driving cars. Now, I know that that's a hard statement for a lot of people to take, right? Like they hear that and they're like, that's crazy. Why would you buy a car? Because I like working on cars. I like fabricating. I like
using these.
Yes. And here's the thing. I'm not telling you I don't love driving my car. What I'm saying to you is sometimes I just want to be in that thing of like, all right, what do I do to get to the next step? Like what is the other thing? How can I make something that would make this work or how can I make this look cool? I've always been like that. I like that challenge. I like that stuff. So you give me like I love Tinkering. Helping. Yeah. And I unfortunately go much further in than tinkering. but I wish I tinkered because if I tinkered, then I think I would have more money. But with that said, like I've had a lot of friends that like have done some really ridiculous projects and I like helping out on them because I think that they're fun. It's like Monster Garage to an extent, you know,
I've done a fair bit of work to cars of the years. And even like when I was rebuilding my car and made a cart for it to get it in out of the garage so I can work on it. And there's something about just zoning out, you know, of like thinking of the day to day, like I got to do this and like just work.
Yeah.
And then you could sit there and use these things. Like, what are you supposed to do with them? Work on that and get it to a point where you can drive it, you can enjoy it, you learn a few things in the process, you get some cuts and some bruises.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some shards of metal in the eye. Yep. Use your eye protection.
So I had this really good idea, and then I think we'll probably cap it after this because I feel like people don't need to listen to me rant about things I like to do. But I had this really
He enjoys idea. Pottery, everyone. Pottery. He likes pottery.
No, that's not true. So I had this idea. And I think I've probably spoken about it, you know, a while ago about doing a remote oil cooler setup for my car. So I bought a Dorally kit that has the 2 5-inch fans on it, you know, really because there's not a lot of airflow opportunities that my car has, right? A 350Z doesn't have a lot of that. The car gets very hot and there's a lot of aluminum in that engine bay. And as my friend Vinny Ten has pointed out, Scott, it's okay. Like that's what that aluminum is supposed to do. It's supposed to radiate heat. So like just, it gets hot, you know, but like I can't deal with the fact that during the summer, sometimes like the temps can get up there. Right. Yeah. Coolant temps. We've done a good job about keeping everything cool, but like I have a 4-inch thick intercooler. I have your AC condenser. I got a thick aluminum radiator and those two, you know, SPAL fans, they have to pull all of that air through.
It's a lot of air to
that little opening. And it's not a big opening on the 350, right?
Yeah.
So like my whole thing is like there's no more space in that front bumper to get any more airflow in. It's over. It's done. There's no more space. Even ducting, I tried to figure out a way to duct it without totally just destroying the front lip of my Ings LX kit. I cannot do any more ducting. There's nothing left to duct because the kit goes down so much lower than the car, like it's useless. So I decide I'm going to do this remote oil cooler kit. Okay.
Maybe you could just drill holes, right?
I'm not going to drill holes in my car.
Okay. All right.
That's I don't know if you know how OEM plus I do things. Like it will look like factory or it will not be there.
Yeah, so, no, absolutely.
To an extent, you know what I mean? My car still has an Ings LX kit on it. Like, it looks tasteful.
So just drill smaller holes then?
No. Anyways. So I go through, I have all these things, and I kind of gave it up. In the beginning of the summer, I, like, had taken, you know, took the bumper off, got everything set, and I make this great looking mount. I, you know, get aluminum, I'm welding stuff, I made all these things to hold this thing at a right angle, get all the things, the fans are going to clear, I clearance some things, you know, like I have it fitting, it bolts right on, it's serviceable. Like I'm like super proud of myself. Like
patting yourself on the back sick. And like
I'm like, yeah. Wait, I'm like, this is awesome. And then I go to put the bumper back on and somehow I measured a little bit off and now the bumper can't, it's an inch away from where it needs to be for the bumper to go on. So, well, that's not going to work. So now I put the thing, I took the whole thing that I spent all that time on, which I mean, it wasn't a lot of time, but I probably spent a solid, you know, 3-4 hours on it. And I basically just threw it into the, yeah, that was the day that I was working on some stuff.
That was the clearance versus clearance.
No, that's not the day that that was me. Searching for AC leaks. I found them, by the way. Oh. I fixed it. What ends up happening is, it's not, you can't see it there. I mean, you can see my little, see, I made my, that's, see up there on top of the brace there? That's an oil separator. It's basically like a catch can.
Yep.
So I made like, it's a sealed catch can. So like it routes back. And then what I did was I took the PCV valve out. And I went to a radium PCV valve and I moved it closer up. So there's a straight AN fitting that comes off the valve cover, routes back to this. There inside, I built that box. So inside, I basically did the window wall where you basically have one piece of metal that it hits here and then the air flows. So then oil hits it there, it's got to drop down. And then there's another plate that I welded in that has all these holes in it on the bottom so the oil would go down below. Yep. And then it has to travel back up and then it hits another wall. Right. And then it's got it. So the airflow has to then go around it. And anyhow, it goes back around. And then there's a valve in the bottom that I have run all the way back next to near the oil filter. So when I change my oil, I can just open this thing up. But I've never really gotten any oil out of it. So I'm going to say that it's doing its job. But
lesson learned.
Anyhow, bottom line is I build this whole oil cooler kit. It doesn't work. I throw the thing in the box now. And it's like, I know that that's not going to work. There is no more, I can't move it in any other direction. So now the only way that I can make this thing work now is forget the time and effort that I put into this bracket that I already did. Now I started working on a full on, So a Dorali thing comes with this aluminum piece that has like, it's super shrouded. It has, you know, stripping and everything like that, the ducting, and the fans mount right to that. Well, now okay. I can't use that piece because that's the inch that I need. So now I've started to, I've taken that off and okay. I've started to build a whole entire aluminum duct shield that goes all the way down so that I can move the fans
to get it back
down
over.
The line. The fans are now going to be down the line. This duct is like, it kind of tapers in around everything. And so it holds the oil cooler up front and it has all this stuff. But now I don't know how it's going to work because the fans are going to be, they're in the sealed duct unit, but okay. They're going to be much further down the line. They're not going to be right up against the oil cooler. I don't know if that works or not because it's sealed. So I'm going to have to find out. So now I'm entering into a project that I've never entered into. So
you enjoy tinkering.
That if you call that tinkering, then I don't know. You found my, that's my catch can inside before I sealed it up. See?
Yeah.
That was my, that's because some people buy them for $40. And I sit there for days. No, this wasn't days. I sit there for 3 hours cutting aluminum and trying to figure out, like, how can I make this go around? Because I'm a psychopath. There's something wrong with me.
You enjoy what you do.
Sometimes.
Well, yeah, and everything has a moment.
Anyhow. All right. Summary before we get out of here. Make sure that if you're putting a wide body hand kit in your car, think about the wheels. Maybe at the same time as the purchase. This way you can kind of line them up and just make sure you have some options, come up with a game plan.
Equate it to a motor build.
Yeah.
Think about the whole story, not just up front.
Make sure you got the wheels thought out, at least to the point where you know you can get close and then fine tune with spacers if you have to. Again, I don't condone the use of spacers on an average everyday car, but once you put a wide body kit and make your car 5 inches wider, you're not in the same realm anymore. So you're going to be doing a whole bunch of stuff that you shouldn't do. So there's that. And that's pretty much it. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll catch you back here on the next one.